Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The particular verses that we will focus upon from today's reading are verses 36 to 38 of the 14th chapter of Mark. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went to read. Maybe you've heard the saying that says something to the effect that the simplest things in life are almost always the best. Well, an example of that came to mind the other day when I was thinking about today's text. And it brought to mind an inexpensive toy that I had when I was younger. It was a little piece of cardboard. It had a nice picture of Jesus or some other kind of religious picture pasted on the top of it. And it had little indentations on it. It was covered by a clear plastic little gun. And it had little BBs rolling around underneath. It was the idea of the game was to take it and shake it, tilt it around, get those little BBs to find those indentations. It was a very frustrating game. Very tedious. But it also made you feel very good when you were able to succeed on it because it helped you to feel like you had mastered it. You controlled it. Now, control is something that we all value very highly. We want very much to control our family, our finances, our health, our spiritual, our physical, and our social environment. And yes, sometimes even our God. We like to control things so much that we work very hard at being the master of our destiny, the master of the universe. Very possibly, some of you felt as I did last week when we were going through registration the first day of the classes that we were anything but the masters of our lives. As we tried to get back into the swing of seminary life or maybe get into a seminary for the first time. Maybe you felt like you were a stranger in a familiar place. But I would venture to say that most of us, if not all of us here today, know the frustration of being sick or incapacitated because of some accident or sickness, and not being in full control of our lives. However, today's text tells us that true control lies in submission to the will of God in faith in Jesus. It gives us an example of this submission, and it urges us to follow that example. This example is in Jesus. It tells us that Jesus, after his life, was ready to submit his will to God's will, and that he willingly submitted to God's will that he drank the cup of our sin and death, and thereby give us forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Jesus was able to save us, and therefore make it possible for us to obediently surrender our entire life to him in faith. He was able to save you and me. But because yours and my evil flesh can prevent us from serving God and living a God-pleasing life, the Holy Spirit has given you and me the willing spirit to serve him in everything that we do and say and think. In other words, to consecrate our lives to him as we follow him. This is the power that we have. So you and I are now ready, willing, and able to turn our lives over to Jesus completely, entirely, and to give him, in response to his love, our unconditional faith in him as our Lord and Savior. How do we surrender our lives to Jesus? Let's take a look at the example that Jesus gives us and how and why he surrendered and submitted his will to God's will. He surrendered by drinking a cup of yours and mine, suffering, death and hell that we would pour out for ourselves. He drank the bitter, the burning, the even terrible and unspeakable wrath of God intended for you and me. And this drinking of the cup wasn't just a drinking of some cruel destiny, but rather it was the drinking of God's judgment on you and me. He drank this cup of Paul's attention. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He truly did drink all of that cup. And it's a good thing too, because he tells us himself in the text today that you and I are not able to do anything concerning our own sins to wipe them off, to wash them away, much less save the world. We can do nothing to save ourselves, but Jesus did everything to save us. We accomplish our damnation. He accomplished our salvation. He did it, and we did it. So why? Why did Jesus willingly break this cup? He drank it because he was thirsty. He was thirsty to drink the deadly poison of years and long sin. He wanted God to see his righteousness rather than our corruption and evil flesh, so that God would give us forgiveness of all of our sins and eternal life in heaven with him. He drank the cup because he loved us. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus drank the cup because it was God's will that he do so. He tells us, but for this purpose I came to this earth. Jesus was born to die for you and for me, to give us that forgiveness, to give us that eternal life that is ours to sit and to faith in him. He gives us this in his precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. His will was based entirely on his Father's will, and he refused to do anything that would set his will opposite the will of his Father. That's why he calls him Abba, Father. It's an endearing term showing his complete obedience to his Father and his unconditional faith in his Father. And here in this attitude of Jesus, you and I have the example for how we are to submit our will to God's will. You and our students are to do everything we possibly can to be diligent and faithful in doing the task of our classwork and our studies that we've been given. And not to mention all the other jobs that we have. We get to do everything we possibly can to be the best prepared to be pastors in the Lutheran Church in the very thing. Be professors. I have to do everything that you can to help us to be qualified in every way to be professors, to be pastors in that same very thing. And we all are to let that very Spirit, that the Holy Spirit puts in us, restore the joy of God's salvation in us, so that we can share it with others, both inside and outside the seminary community. We are to let God's will be our will. All the time, in every way, the last detail, in everything that we do and say and think. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We say it all the time in the Lord's Prayer, and we will again in just a few minutes. Thy will be done, not mine. After all, what will my will got me? My will, without the attitude change that the faith has created in me, is no different from the will of Adam and Eve. And you know what the most great attitude is. How is your track record? Let God's will be done in your life, just as it already has been done. God will that you become his redeemed child and live with him in heaven. He also now wills that his will be your will. Let it be so. You are those babies in that dream that God is shaking and moving around, controlling your life. What a joy What a joy to know that your Savior, your Creator, your Redeemer is controlling your life and not you. What a comfort to know that your God, that loving and gracious God of Calvary, is calling the shots for you and me, Mr. and Mrs. Warren. Jesus was ready, willing, and able to give everything for you and me. He has made you and me ready, willing, and able to obediently surrender our entire lives to Him, to make His will be our will. Follow His example. Amen.